Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
You heard the man, DJ Bienemy, who he always joins us on Fridays leading up to big Texans games and the weekend that will be, is joining us right now. You're on with Barry Laminack and myself as your man Jeremy is on vacation till Tuesday, DJ. Thanks for joining us, as always. I was saying this prior to getting you on the phone. We know this is a must-win for the Dolphins. We know that this is every game's like a playoff game to them, but it almost feels like, because we know the stretch of games coming up and everything, that this is kind of way the Texans are looking at it too, that they know it's, you know, everybody's been waiting for this point in the schedule. They know they haven't been playing their best football. They know that with Petrie out and Azeez out that the deck looks a little bit stacked against them defensively, but it seems like they feel like they can send a message, make a statement, and treat this like a must-win type game too.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely a borderline must-win, because I'm looking at the Colts schedule. Like, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but Colts play the Broncos, Titans, Giants, and Jags. Not saying like they'll sweep all that. Obviously, I mean, it's a good chance they won't. But let's say they went out. Like, you're gonna have to get two more wins, right? And if you lose this one, right, you're 8-6, and you can't beat the Dolphins. Why should I think you could beat the Ravens or the Chiefs? So if you lose, let's say you lose this week, you could be staring at 8-8. Wait, if you lose this week, lose the next two games. That put them what, 8-8. You know what I'm saying? And now, like, you beat Tennessee, who already beat you. Like this is as important for the Texans as it is for the Dolphins. Like, you have to. Granted, yes, the last game, like, you did win that, but you didn't win that convincingly, even though the vibes were good. But this is the type of team that if they lose this game, things can really start to unravel, because they did start 6-2, but then they would look up and they would be 8-6. And basically, at that point, would have lost, what, two out of four? You know what I'm saying? Like, no, not 2 out of 4. You'd have been 2-4 since starting 6-2. And yeah, you're 8-6. But now you got to go to Kansas City. And we know Kansas City, they just don't lose close games, which the Texans are 50-50 in those games. And then the Ravens, who have had your number historically, right? So just as much as this is a must-win for the Dolphins, it's just as much win for the Texans, in my opinion. You can't come off the bye and come out flat and lose to a team that is primed to be beaten. They struggle on the road against good teams, supposedly winning teams. They're going to be down as two starting tackles. It's prime. They don't really have a great pass rush, so CJ's not going to be under great duress. They're solid at stopping the run, but this is going to be a comfortable-ish game if CJ was there. So, like, you have everything. You have the format to beat this team, which is make Tua hold the ball by getting a little funky and creative on the back end. So then you keep forcing to hold it, and then your passers can get to him, because they will be able to get upfield and get to him. Since it'll be a rookie Patrick Paul, Houston, you know, Goku, and Kendall Lamb, or whatever his name is. But regardless.
Did you really drop a Jeremy Branham Go Cougs in there? What are we doing?
My fault. But I know people that's listening who are Houston Cougar fans know who that is.
Yes.
Vacated to the fan base.
All right. Well, I'll let it slide.
DJ, listen, man. What is you mentioned left tackles for the what is the situation with the Texans O line right now? What can the fans expect to see on Sunday?
Yeah, I can see. Right now, it's looking like, you know, Zach Thomas, the left guard, you know, I mean, he's only playing a little bit of his part. But he could get in there. And there is the wild card of Titus. I don't think it's going to be Kane this week. I'm very confident that's not going to be Kane this week. And I think you have Zach Thomas left tackle or left guard, or the wild card of Titus going to left guard. You know, the one play left guard, and then putting Blake at right tackle. So I think that that technically at this point would be their best five. It's just that, you know, Titus doesn't give you much at guard, he doesn't give you much at guard in terms of run blocking. But your pass blocking will be superb at that point, because that's why you will be locked down. Because Titus and Laramie together had success last year. So I think, you know, that's the wild card. But I think if I had to, you know, gun to my head, I'd probably go Zach Thomas at left guard.
Well, so Kenyon Green's out. Scruggs is out. So you said Zach Thomas is playing. He's going to start?
Yes. So I'm thinking, I'm leaning towards Zach Thomas starting at left guard, with the wild card of Titus being at left guard with Blake at right tackle. But I do think you could see a scenario where you do see Titus at left guard. There would be a little scuttlebutt about that, but so, I don't necessarily think that they're going to pull that trigger at this point.
So you could see that, though, as a rotation probably at some point.
Yeah, possibly. Okay. Yeah, for sure, possibly. Okay.
What are we talking about defensively, DJ? We know that Christian Harris was designated to practice for return, but I don't expect to see him. Even if they activated him, I wouldn't expect him to play much. And we know how much Miami likes to work the middle of the field. It's a scary proposition no matter who plays them offensively with the way Tua's been playing. But now when you have no Aziz and you have no Petrie and Christian Harris isn't coming to save the day, defensively that seems to me personally to be the biggest concern I've got other than the offensive line. What say you?
Yeah, I would say that also because beyond just the linebacker, I think the safety unit has not, you know, been up to snuff this year. I think anybody could have predicted that coming in. You know, it's kind of funny sometimes how, like, let me not go on a tangent, but, like, how it's so clear what's not going to work and teams still try it. And then when it blows up in their face, they just throw their hands up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, stubbornness, it was very obvious,
yeah. It's so obvious the safety group wasn't going to be good enough, especially once you put Petrie in a nickel. And obviously Petrie is playing good ball in the nickel, but, like, again, like, if you took one of your better safeties out of the nickel, I mean, basically from removing them from safety to nickel, but I think, you know, the spine of the defense from a pass cover standpoint is going to be a little problematic, even when Christian Harris comes back, because he didn't play football since January, right? Like, he didn't practice at all in training camp. So he hasn't tackled somebody since God knows when. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure he'd be, like, off of just pure, like, talent, he'll be fine, but this is the wrong team because they motion so much, and you got to have great eye discipline. So I think that this week, you know, that's why I don't really know who's going to win. Like, it's not a game I'm really confident in, because both teams have ways that they can exploit the other team, like their strengths and the other team's weaknesses. So really, like, who can cause the other team to have to play into their weaknesses, which benefits the other team's strengths?
DJ, do you think that, I mean, in hearing everything that you said, is Jimmy Ward going to be the guy that gets moved down to the slot and replaces Petrie for the long haul now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, like, he played a lot of nickel. But again, like, I think Jimmy at this point in his career, like, he's kind of at the jag stage. Like, he'll probably use something in the run game, but he's not giving you much in the pass game because he can't run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't run like, sometimes I feel like he's running with a piano on his back down the field sometimes. So, like, you know, he might be fine intermediate, but, like, if Tua has any moments where he has time, like, it can get a little tricky. You know what I'm saying? So, him being, like, that Petrie loss is a huge loss. It's a huge loss because he had, even though he wasn't, like, the best cover guy, but he's for sure better than, like, you know, he's better than Jimmy Ward at that spot or Eric Murray at that spot. You know what I'm saying? Like you can leave Jalen Petrie on the island and he'll give great effort and he'll be like bang bang at times, right? Like the touchdown he gave up to Garrett Wilson, like he was right there. Aaron made a great throw. Garrett made a great catch, right? Obviously him and Devontae, like that was a mistake to begin with. But again, like a coaching staff could feel like, hey, all right, I think you can hold up there. But Jimmy or Eric Murray in those spots, because the thing is, you can't put Kalen in those spots because he's basically a free safety. Like, he's through and through a middle of the field safety. He's not going to be in the box. So, like, it kind of limits your options. So, I mean, you could try Miles Bryant, but he's, you know, here's what he is. You know, maybe, you know, the team might be missing Desmond King a little bit, but obviously he's in Baltimore.
They actually, I'm looking at the depth chart on ESPN. They actually have MJ Stewart at the nickel right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like,
I mean,
this is a bottom 3-4 safety unit across the league. Like, this is, like, it's easily a bottom tier safety unit, which is why they give them so much explosive, because, like, teams just, you know, find ways to get their best receivers matched up on their safeties, and they have their way.
Yep.
You know, to me, it's not even like the safety's fault. Like, it's not their fault that they're being axed to do things that they're just physically not capable of. Like, it's not their fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the organization's fault for putting them in those positions by not getting guys that were more equipped to, like, do the things that they needed them to do.
You think the D-line now getting Foley back, and the fact that this D-line seems to be complete again, that's their best chance to, like, get some pressure on Tua and really disrupt some things early?
So the issue is, you know, he gets the ball so fast.
Yeah.
Like, he averages 2.4 yards. I mean, 2.4 is the time he takes to throw it, 2.4 seconds. That he can neutralize a pass rush if the coverage isn't good. So if he's not good on the back end, or he's not good enough, or he doesn't make a hitch, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter at all. Because the Jets have a good defensive line. You know, Quinton Williams, Tom Reddick, Will McDonald, and they got zero quarterback hits and zero sacks on him, right? So it really comes back down to your back end. Like, you need your back end to be, like, on point. Because as much as, you know, like, as much as some quarterbacks, yes, you need your D-line to get to them, but some other quarterbacks that really get it out fast, you need your coverage to for it to hold up long enough so then your D-line can get to the quarterback, right? I know it's like the old adage and the old cliche of, you know, just try to get there before. But to get there before, you need your back end to really – it's as 50-50 as it gets. You need your back end to force the quarterback. Because it's rare where a guy, like, gets a field and is there in 2 seconds. Like, that's super rare. Even, like, the T.J. Watts, the Miles Garrett, they still need time to get there. But if you're not, you know, if you're not going to hold up in coverage, then, you know, it is. And another thing, too, like the best time to attack the Texans is first and second down because they're very simplistic. So, in reality, like, I could see Miami, like, you know, they might run here on there on first down, but I could see them, like, just throwing a lot on early downs just to, and using that as an extension of the run to keeping the third and manageables, but also being able to exploit the Texans' secondary because they're going to be something so simplistic and vanilla that's what you can attack. Because that's what we saw Green Bay do, but that's what we saw Minnesota do, where you saw them throwing with Sam Allow early down. So they obviously made adjustments in the second half, even though it didn't matter, but I can see that kind of more or less being the case.
Especially with their speed.
By the way, DJ, thanks for getting Barry's complete and utter philosophy since he went through puberty. Your back end has to be on point as something that he has stressed forever.
What?
I just want to let you know.
What?
Thank you.
What on earth?
Yes.
How critical is it for the Texans to get the run game going? It feels like, you know, I know they had 100 yards last week, but it just feels like it didn't feel like a 100-yard game. And maybe I'm just not remembering it correctly. But, you know, that magic that they had early in the season when Joe Mixon, it felt like he could not be stopped and he was running over everybody. It doesn't feel like that's there right now. And maybe it's just because they don't respect the pass anymore. But, how do they get it going? And I know it's critical, but how do they get that going again?
Yeah, so I think, like, you're not, like, completely off. In the sense of, like, yes, he ran for 100 yards, but it was basically, like, they had a few pops, but everything else was kind of, you know, really grinding it out. I don't think it's due to respect the pass. I think, like, you know, with the combination of Juice and Patterson, he's going to move guys off the ball. And I think that's mainly what it is, which is why I can see a scenario where they probably just try to get Titus out there and let's left guard. But, you know, like, he doesn't want to play left guard. Like, he wants to play tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why he had in this Twitter post, Twitter thing, I'm a right tackle. So, and Miami saw that stopping the run also. But, you know, I think it's going to be very critical that they get the ground game going, because this defense, they play a lot of too high. They play too high, split safety coverage on 47% of the dropbacks. And CJ this year has a QBR scale, 0 to 100, 50% to average. Obviously, anything, you know, 70, 80, those are great. He has a QBR of 36, which ranks 30th in the league, one touchdown, one interception. Six touchdowns, six interceptions. He has not been that up. And again, a lot of it also is because they see a lot of it because they see a lot of third and longs. So you combine all of that, that leads to him not being that effective in third and, you know, too high situations. And the run game hasn't been good in those situations either. I believe they have a success rate, rushing rate of like 36% according to Next Gen Stats, which is third worst in the NFL. So a lot of that, again, stems from their inability to move guys off of the ball and work to the second level across the board. So I would say, man, it's going to be very vital to get the ground game going, because I anticipate that the game plan that Texans use is going to be very similar to what they used against the Rams, where they had Matthew Stafford and that company to roughly 15 points on Monday Night Football. And a lot of too high, forcing a lot of tight throws while trying to get pressure up the middle with some stunts and things of that nature.
DJ, we always appreciate your time, my man. Have a great weekend. We look forward to catching up next week after the game on Sunday.
All right, no problem.
There you go. DJ Bienname, beat writer for your Houston Texans on ESPN.com, joins us every Friday right here on the Killer Bees. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back as we lead up to the top of the hour and wrap up a full week of shows. But Barry and I have got plenty more to get to. If you guys want to revisit the Kyle Tucker situation, we can get into that, get into more Astros, or we can continue with the Texans talk. We can get even to the Rockets talk. They got a big game Saturday night. They're already in Vegas. They're already fired up. They're playing a tough OKC team. And DJ, please, pick up your phone if you want to talk Rockets with our man, AJ, because he loves his Houston Rockets. We've got plenty more to get to. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, back for the final half hour of the program. Age trying to keep us on schedule. Very valid effort today after the less than stellar performance yesterday, AJ.
I thought you did great yesterday, AJ. You don't have to take that from him.
Is that why you backed me and gave specific examples of how many times you left our mics open?
Listen, don't. That's neither here nor there.
That's just a fact.
Water under the bridge.
It's right.
Oh, okay. God, it seems like old times. You guys are teaming up on me. What? I never have.
We've never teamed up on you.
No, you haven't, but I did this normally. In case you were concerned about this kind of thing, because
chair, by the way.
Good. We had someone that texted us in earlier and said, after reading the ESPN.com reviews of the trade, that they didn't think that the Astros did very well. Baseball Trade Values has come out and said that with the Cubs acquiring Kyle Tucker, their evaluation is the deal would have been rejected by our models as an overpay by Chicago.
Boom. Roasted.
So
suck it, nerds. See?
I think your point is the most valid one of all, which is...
It always is, Joel. I'm sorry.
Which is...
Why did you make that face?
I mean, even with the football trades, and go back to the CJ and Will and the Texans move, you can't evaluate that the day of the trade and say that you know exactly how it's going to play out. You have to see, look, the Verlander trades, either one of them, or, mm-hmm. The trades that were made when you acquired, either Justin Verlander or Garrett Cole or Charlie Morton or Zach Greinke. Yeah. You never know that day how it's going to play out, because you got to see how the prospects perform. Look, we're talking about Kikuchi from last year. Well, Joey Loperfido is going to have to turn into something. Will Wagner is going to have to keep doing what he started doing and then do it every day for you to, and the rest of the prospects have to live up to billing to some degree. Or it's a different evaluation. And I think that's why this Tucker trade right now is one of those where, at least realistically, they looked in the mirror and they said, we know we're not going to be able to re-sign him, so we might as well get something and get as much as we can now and prepare for the future immediately, instead of trying to ride it out, chase your dreams of another World Series title, and then watch him walk out the door for free.
You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. That's the saying, right? I mean, everybody in this town bitched and moaned when they let Correa and Springer walk. So they go out and make a move and get value back for Tucker. And everybody's like, "Why you didn't I mean, you're never going to win. You're never going to win unless you spend $8 bajillion on every, and it's never going to happen. You know what? I've said this before. I probably said it on this air. I know I've said it on my show, Barry on Deck. I know. Look, this is the deck, result. Right? Yes. Okay. The E is critical.
Just checking.
The E is, there's never been a more important E in the history of E's.
Just checking.
This is the result of winning World Series. Not just one, but two. This is the result of a dynasty. Yeah, I said it. I said the D word.
I think you're right.
This is the result. You have to these are the problems that come from being a winning franchise. And so this is what you're dealing with, as opposed to, we suck again. Like, this, be happy that this is your problem, right?
Here's the other thing, though. The fact is that people forget from day to day what they have felt in the past when they draw the conclusion now that suddenly they're pissed off because you traded Kyle Tucker and he's out the door and you're going to miss him and you don't think he got enough. Those are probably the same people that for the last couple of playoffs said, what has he done for us in the playoffs? And it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. You're just like the rest of the Killer Bees when it matters the most and you disappear and you haven't done anything when we needed you to do things in the postseason. So be gone and good luck to you. And now you're pissed off because he actually is.
Yeah. And he's, again, damned if you do, damned if you don't. What I mean, did you want to keep him around? You're never going to make everybody happy. You're never, I mean, I've learned that in radio. I've learned that in stand-up comedy. I've learned that in life. You're never going to make everybody happy. What you have to do is you have to make decisions that you feel like are best for your franchise. And, you know, if it means you got some people upset, I promise you the same people that are upset now, if Camp Smith becomes an all-star third baseman, no one's going to remember this.
No, you're right.
Everyone's going to forget about it. They're going to be like, remember how we fleeced the Cubs for Kyle Tucker and
Think about
Cam
the
Smith?
The Larry Anderson trade and the fact that, hey, you turned out with Jeff Bagwell, who turned out to be a Hall of Famer. Yep. And at the time, you know, I'm sure there were people going, why are we trading one of our best relief pitchers and for who? And it turns out that you got a Hall of Famer. Or the Yordan trade, when everybody was like, you got what back for a major league relief pitcher that, you know, has had some success in the past, and suddenly you've got the heart of your lineup for the next 10 years.
And that's a great point. That's a great point. Is no one even, I promise you, when the trade was made for Yordan Alvarez, 99.99% of the people that watch sports in this city, they didn't even know. Mm-mm. Didn't even bat an eye because you don't know until they get to the majors and become a star.
By the way, the Dodgers didn't even know.
No!
The first time the Astros asked for him, there's another guy named Alvarez in their system. They're like, oh, hell no, you're not getting him. We think very highly of him. And they had to clarify and say, no, this is an outfielder
the
that
Astros
we were looking at.
Knew who they wanted.
And they knew who
they
wanted.
Tried to sign
and the Dodgers
him.
Were like, no brainer, take him, yeah. Go ahead. Oops, how'd that work out?
Oh, you want your Dan? No, they didn't even know how to say his name. Yeah, no, like, the Astros knew they wanted Yordan Alvarez. They tried to actually sign him, but they just didn't have the international player pool money to do it. So when they had a chance to trade for him, boy, they were excited. So, again, props to the Astros for knowing what he was, even when they couldn't get him the first time. That's why, this is a public service announcement. If you're out there and you're, you know, crying and you're orange milk, calm down. This team, for the last 7 years minimum, you can go all the way back to 2015 if you really want, and beyond that, really, because the drafts, while they were losing 100 games, really affected 2015 when they started that first year winning and making it to the playoffs. And yeah, they lost in 2016, but that was a building block. And in 2017 and beyond, but those years that they were losing 100 games, they were drafting and they were building a dynasty. This team has made really good decisions year after year after year. And you can say that they haven't, but letting George Springer go,
It was the right move.
It was the right move. Look what he's what has he done since he left. Now, you didn't really have any control over Gerrit Cole leaving, like you said. I think your point about him, he was going no matter what. Sometimes you just can't, right? Have they made, has every decision been great? No. But for the most part, this team has a lot more hits than they do strikeouts.
Correa, no matter how much he had a decent year last year, you were never going to pay him that money anyway.
Yeah, my biggest beef is I would have loved to have seen them get something for the guys that they let walk.
And
that's
I think,
it.
I think the other thing that you take away from when we say that this team can still be competitive, that this team can still win the division, that this team between now and the start of the season, if they do some things and handle their business correctly, still has a chance to be a very successful baseball team, is because they're not the Nationals. When they pulled the plug and they just started unloading, they let Rendon walk, and then they traded Soto, and they and you know all the guys disappeared that they had that made them a World Series team. Or the Marlins, as you mentioned, when they were in go-for-it mode, and the minute they won the World Series, the plug was pulled and everybody was traded, and it was, we really suck. Mm-hmm. In this case, yes, it hurts to lose a guy that's been a foundational piece, and potentially you could lose two foundational pieces of this run with Bregman as well, but it's not going to leave you high and dry to where you can't be competitive as soon as this coming season.
Exactly. And you can still... I mean, they still have a ton of talent on this roster.
If Altuve's still and batting leadoff.
It's not like this is a killer division either. Let's be real.
I Yordan's mean, listen, in your
Seattle's
top
Seattle's good.
You got Altuve and Yordan and Yiner in your top four already. You know,
you got great pitching.
You got great pitching. You have the ability now with some financial flexibility and some things that you can still do between now and the start of the season to where you can add a bat, you can get an outfielder. The trade that you made got you an everyday third baseman that could also play first base if you do bring Alex Bregman back. Also, and you have the ability to compete in your division, as you mentioned.
Also, you could still get Tucker. Preston Tucker is probably still available. His brother? No, you don't.
I mean, you looking for an opening act or some guy that's available on nights and weekends?
Well, I mean, he's a Tucker.
There were a couple years when they really liked him here, too.
Everyone was like, oh, we got his brother? Oh, no, he sucks. Yeah. I remember that. Everybody was like, Kyle, who? And then, I remember one guy compared him to Ted Williams' swing.
Oh, man. Even Blummer used to, with the Ted, the Ted talk. Yeah. That used to boil me because of the fact that you knew I was just never the big fan. I never believed because it took him too long to get going.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad as if I take myself out of
Homer mode?
Media guy. Oh. No, if I take myself out of, what are we called? I mean, I know we're sports talk
we're
guys.
We're media guys. Jeremy likes to say that he's an influencer.
No, pundits. Is that what are we pundits? What
Some people
we?
Call it that. Some people say that.
What, pundits?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever we are. Idiots. I'll use idiots. We're idiots. But if I just take that out as a fan, if I'm just allowed to enjoy it and be a fan for a moment, I'm good. As a baseball fan, as an Astros fan, I'm good. I'm not upset about this because I would rather this than what it's been every year since they won their first World Series, which is watch our beloved draft picks who have been a part of this dynasty slowly trickle out the door for nothing. I'm good.
I said it then. I'll say it again. I really am glad they got something for him. I thought that they should trade him. I think that they should trade Framber Valdez. If you can find a trade partner for Ryan Pressly, you can do that too.
You ain't finding nobody to trade for Ryan Pressly.
If Philly wants to dump bomb and you want to dump Pressly and they need help in their bullpen, let's make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that.
Extreme Buffalo Right Wings on Twitter said, we have the worst outfield in the majors. Stop being positive. First of all, thanks for listening. We've already addressed that. We said earlier in the show that is a problem. You do have one of the worst outfields in the majors, but they're not done yet. At least I hope not. And that's part of what we talked about is, okay, so this is the first shoe to drop, but they can't be done. No, this has to be step one of at least one, if not two more moves this offseason. Because if this is the end, if this is the move and they let Bregman go and then they're like, okay, that's our offseason, then this is a failure of an offseason. Because they do have if not the worst outfield in baseball. But this as a starting point for a move, because we spent, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes going over right field and center field and even left field options. But, hey, at least you listened.
Yeah.
And I'm the idiot.
I think so. All right. We've got a couple segments to get to before we get to the end of the program, so we do need to get to a break. We'll come back and continue to rap about baseball and a whole lot more. If you guys want to join us, car wreck of the day, by the way. We still have car wreck of the day to wrap
that
up
tweet.
The program. There's plenty. So if you guys want to get involved, please send all your calls. Just call directly and talk to AJ. He loves talking to the people. He'd love to hear
Hoffman,
from you.
I'll give you his cell phone
713-780-3776. AJ would love to talk to you directly, and he would judge if your car wreck of the day is valid. Other than that, we are the Killer Bees, and it's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back as we head towards the finish line on a very successful and fun week with Barry here, filling in for Jeremy, who's on vacation, and AJ there, filling in for BMAC, who's somewhere in the building doing something where he thinks he's more important. It's funny to me, by the way, and I'll never understand this, and I think you and I are on the same page with this. But it's funny to me, you know, watching all of our different, you know, YouTube and Twitch and the text messages, where you can get a lot of good commentary, feedback, and it creates some good discussion. And then you get the just complete
garbage.
A-hole.
Trash.
That comes in, like Corey from Chicago, who calls in and wants to get in the YouTube chat because he just wants to go into enemy territory to try and gloat.
Is this him?
No. And so it's funny to me that he comes in saying, Tucker's going to hit 40 bombs in Wrigley and you guys are going to be in a complete rebuild. Okay, tough guy. One, sign Tucker before you become the Yankees of the next coming season, where you go and you make a dumbass trade and then you don't finish the deal like Bill O'Brien and you don't sign an extension. And then, oh, by the way, I had to add the footnote because I've seen it and know it from experience. Quit being little brother to big brother that's a small market team above you in Milwaukee, because you took their manager, you try and take all the salary that you can and use it towards your team, and every single freaking year, you can't even win your own damn division. So suck on that before you start trying to gloat about Kyle Tucker.
Right? You finished 10 back.
And you had their manager, which you paid double for.
Not only
you
that,
had a way bigger payroll, and you sucked.
You know what's crazy is I'm looking at the standings. The Cubs were a plus 67 and still finished tied with the Cardinals at 10 back, who were a minus 47. How do you do that? How bad are you that you're a plus 67 and the Cardinals are a minus 47?
Sweet
and you're
life,
both,
bro.
You're both 10 back.
At least they would like to attack you.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know what that is? That's a whole bag of suck right there.
Mm-hmm, enjoy that.
Yeah. I have cracked the code, by the way.
What's that?
I have figured this whole thing out. I know why. I know what all this is about.
Okay.
I know what's going on. I know why this is happening. It's the HEB curse. Think about it.
Oh, Breggy and Tucker in the commercial.
Everybody that's been in the commercials, except for Altuve.
Pena.
Give it time, bro.
Oh, boy.
Give it time. But everybody.
Your boy Lance is still in there.
But he's not playing.
But he's still here.
Doesn't matter.
He's,
it's part of the curse, man. Everybody that's made commercials.
People are raving about his coffee.
Great. And people raved about Bregman's salsa. But everyone that has made commercials, gone. Gone, son. Gone. I'm telling you, it's like the Madden curse, the SI cover curse. It's the HEB commercial curse. Eventually, somebody makes a commercial for HEB Astros. Eventually, they're gone. If their name's not Jose Altuve. And you know what? He might be gone too. He might be part of a trade for Fromber. Who knows? It ain't over yet. I'm telling you, man.
Boy, way to get everybody ready for their weekend, Barry.
Telling
way to
you.
Be uplifting.
I'm telling, this is it.
Jeez. Hey, AJ, our intern didn't say who's back calling because she didn't put the name on it. But I'm gonna assume.
Is this how she talks?
Yeah, she moves her head. Is that Keith?
She's like a bobblehead.
Keith, come on in. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Love hearing Barry on the radio.
Appreciate
wanted
you,
to get a call in before the show ended on a Friday. I love the Tucker trade. Love the Devin Williams trade. I have a question for Barry. Comedy question on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening. Comedy question. Super Bowl, NFL on Netflix for Christmas in a couple of weeks. Two games, obviously. 22 people working the game, including Nate Bargatze, comedian. Just wanted to see what your thoughts on Bargatze working some NFL, what he brings to the table, and how funny do you think he is?
Oh, dude, Nate is...
Isn't his Twitter account Nate is funny?
No, I don't think that's Nate's Twitter handle. Dude, Nate is one of the best in the biz right now. And not only is he absolutely hilarious, he works clean, which he's so good at it. He's so funny that you don't even realize he's working clean. That's how you know a comic is really good, is you don't even recognize that they're not cursing because they're just that funny. Another one that's like that is Brian Regan. You just watch Brian Regan and you laugh your ass off, and then when you're done, you realize he never said a filthy thing the entire time. He's just funny. Jim Gaffigan's another one that's kind of like that. You just watch and laugh, and then you go, oh, yeah, this was family friendly. And he's not, Nate's not out there like, oh, I'm a Christian comic. He's just funny. He just doesn't curse. I mean, I'm real good friends with Dusty Slay, and he kind of runs in that circle with Nate Bargatze. But the other thing about Nate, man, is he's slowly building an empire. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he's part of this Netflix crew, because he's got his own kind of he's pumping out specials for other people. In fact, I got a buddy who's trying to get me in touch with him because I did my dry bar special, which is clean comedy. And so they're trying to get me to get in touch with Nate's production company to do another clean special, which that's not really my realm, clean comedy.
Really associate you with clean comedy.
It's not. But I mean, I did it. I do it. But I don't like it. But it's where the money is. It's, but no, Nate's killer, man. I'll be interested to see how he holds up with comedy. I'm always fearful as a stand-up comic and as a sports guy. And we talk about it on here and stuff, but I always try to stay true to both. But Dennis Miller really set back comedians when it comes to sports.
Oh, by doing Monday Night Football?
Yeah, because he was just a goofball, and he really didn't know anything about sports. And he would just get on there and just try to make obscure references, and it was bad. So I'm always nervous about this when I see comments. Bert Kreischer's also on that crew, too, by the way.
Way too many people.
So, there was a ton. I read all the names to you at the break. I'm just curious if they're going to make Bert wear a shirt. We'll see.
Okay.
That's his big thing, is not wearing a shirt. It's not pretty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got moobs.
Oh, Phil Mickelson like?
Bigger.
All right.
It ain't sexy. It's gross.
Hey, we've got one segment to go. It's Car Wreck of the Day. It's coming up. If you guys got any nominations, please get them to us. But before we do that, I do want to tell you about Stella Rosa Wines. Stella Rosa Wines are the best in the business. If you're having people over this weekend and you want to get a party to watch some sports, nothing goes better with whatever you're serving from a food perspective than Stella Rosa Wines. They have an unbelievable selection and variety of different flavors that are a combination of all natural fruits and a lot of different spice that makes everything taste nice, whether you're serving wings or pizza, chips and dips, or anything else that might be on the menu. There's a Stella Rosa wine that will go with it and complement everything that you've got. And it's a great way to give other variations of choices to the people that are going to be at your party. You can serve beer, you can serve hard liquor, but it's the right amount of alcohol with the perfect taste complement to whatever you're serving so that people can pace themselves naturally and they can enjoy a refreshing beverage served cold like Stella Rosa wines. And the best part about Stella Rosa wines is they're available at your local retailer. You don't have to go to a liquor store, though you can, but they're available at your grocery stores and your retailers too. Check them out today, and the next time you're having a party or you're going to someone else's party, bring some Stella Rosa wines and make sure that you serve them chilled. And as I always tell you, please celebrate responsibly.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day.
Car Wreck of the Day, as we do to wrap up the show just about every day now, is something that we always ask for your suggestions. And I think the first and most obvious fellas that we can nominate is one DeVondre Campbell. If, you know, with everything going on with Tucker, we didn't have a whole lot of time to recap what happened, and you didn't miss anything if you fell asleep and didn't watch that football game that didn't have a touchdown last night. But the most exciting and interesting part of the entire game was in the third quarter when linebacker DeVondre Campbell just decided that he was going to take his helmet and go home when they tried to put him in the game. And evidently there's a little bit of sour grapes. He had been playing while Dre Greenlaw was coming back from the injury he sustained prior to the Super Bowl last year. So he got benched this week so that Greenlaw could play. He was evidently already upset about that. They tried to put him in the game after he didn't play the first half. He refused, walked off the field, and boy, do I love the fact that his teammates did not let him get away with it. But that was embarrassing.
Yeah, you can't just quit on your team like that. You knew the deal. You knew the deal. And even if you, and there was talks about, you know, he had told him he didn't want to play, and he kind of got bamboozled and hoodwinked, and they were like, well, just suit up. You're not going to play. And then they needed him, and he was like, I told you I wasn't playing, and that's why he walked off. And it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. You quit on your team. Bad look. Now, you know, the only question is, you know, how was his mentals? You know, was he having a mental crisis, and was he not there? And, you know, we are in that era where we have to be cognizant of that.
But
so
I
don't want to judge 100%, but I'm 99.
You got guys on both sides of the ball, including big names like George Kittle, basically coming out and saying, yep, you know, you can't do what you did. Ryan Clark was killing him. And I think, quite honestly, you have to ask the bigger question of, will any other team in the NFL employ him ever again? Because, like you said, you do have to at least leave the window open a little bit that maybe he was dealing with something. But overall, you do that to one team, and there's not a single other team that's going to want to employ you on their team going forward.
I mean, that, somebody said it best on Sit Down or Get Out or whatever. They were like, that. He very well, that could have been his walk into retirement.
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe
you just, you know, in the brotherhood of the NFL, that's one thing you just don't do.
You just don't walk out on people.
Right. As you walk out. Hey, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
I was like, what was going on?
I mean, AJ's already so overconfident, he'd be ready to fill in on, like,
AJ's face for half a second.
He's becoming B-Mac Jr.
He was like, what is happening right now? What is he doing?
He hasn't seen us in the past.
No. Yeah,
we both have done that, actually. Yeah.
We've both walked out on their show before.
Oh, yeah. In the middle, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. AJ, you don't realize there was a time when we hated each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. And there was a time when we would do wild and crazy stuff on this show.
That too.
Well, on our show, yeah.
Yeah. When you were an intern, you would have been in trouble.
Oh. Yeah, you would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have hated me.
Any other nominations on the car wreck?
I think I got to go with Xavier Leggett. When I found that, I know this is kind of old. It's almost 2 weeks old, I suppose.
No, I thought I heard it this week.
Was it this week? But I just saw this on Instagram.
The raccoon one?
Yes!
This week or something like that.
Yeah,
Did it come out this week?
Yeah.
Bro, this man, there's a video out on Instagram where he was excited because his brother was making Thanksgiving dinner and they're having raccoon. What? First of all, no thank you. But my favorite part of this train wreck is when, instead of just saying like, oh, you know, he's preparing a fine meal, he's like, yeah, they got the clothes off. What? What? So I guess you skin the raccoon. And get, I mean, yeah, obviously you get the fur off, but he said they got the clothes off, and I lost my mind when he said that. That was so funny to me, man.
Hopefully he's got the gloves off, but even the gloves haven't helped him catch footballs this year.
That's a car wreck, a train wreck, a plane wreck. That's
less than, to say the least.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question, though. Is DeVondre Campbell winning?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Easily.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. We do appreciate you. That's AJ on the ones and twos, pushing it to level 12.
What?
He's got to finish the way he started yesterday. Yeah. For AJ Russ behind the window, doing a whole lot. I don't know what he's doing half the time.
He doesn't either.
And he's doing the hard work, I think, because that's what you're supposed to say. Barry Laminack and myself will be back on Monday, wrapping up whatever happens on Sunday between the Texans and the Dolphins. You guys have yourself a great weekend. I got the Texans winning a 3-point game.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
What do you got? I said they were going to lose 3 in a row, but I changed my mind.
24-23 Dolphins.
Okay. There you go. We'll see who's right on Monday.
Okay.
Bye. buy me a Coke. All right, you guys have a great weekend. For AJ and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great one, and we will talk to you on Monday right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.